Welcome to Gadgets, a podcast from Gizmodo where we womansplain the latest technology. I'm your host, consumer tech reporter Florence Ion, and I'm joined here by Protocol's newest news editor, Caitlin McGarry. Hi, Caitlin. Welcome back.
Hi, Flo. Oh, I missed you so much. This is great. I'm happy to be here.
I didn't have a chance to miss you because I actually saw you in person about 48 true. Hours ago, yes. Roughly. Maybe more than that, but it was a delight to see you in person, especially now that we have some news for our listeners that you have floated away from Geo Media into a new landscape of sorts.
I have. Yes. I am no longer with Gizmodo. It's been tough. I love Gizmodo. I love doing this podcast, but it's time for something new. So I'm not leaving abruptly. I am at Protocol now. We'll link some of my, I've been writing some stuff, so we'll link my pieces in the show notes.
Heck yeah.
But I will be departing. I'll be departing this podcast in the next little while. We're gonna ease into it. Yeah. So stay tuned. Yeah. Lots of big stuff happening with Gadgets, and hopefully I will still be involved down the line.
You will. Listen, I have said this before. Caitlin has been with me through many podcast projects. Previous, before Geo Media, and now. So yes. As long as I'm around, Caitlin will be around. So
yes, that's
thanks, Caitlin,
true.
for making time for your old pal Flo here on the Gadgets podcast.
I'm just along for the ride. Just tell me when to show up.
Well, I'm going to tell you today we're going to talk about the Queen and how she's not actually dead. I don't know if you've heard, but apparently there's like a whole misinformation campaign going on about her death.
Okay. There's a lot of misinformation right now. Like right now
there
in particular,
is.
It seems like everything is going off the rails. Like we're dealing with Russia, Ukraine, the Queen. Like, is anyone telling the truth about anything anymore?
I'm telling the truth.
Yes, we are telling the truth.
Hello, ethics, et cetera. So we are telling the truth. Yes. And we're telling you the Queen is not dead. We're also going to tell you all about the new Apple stuff. So, yes. Caitlin, did you have a chance to watch the Apple event yesterday?
I did. I watched the Apple event. I wrote about it. I did a newsletter about it, and I also recorded a podcast about it. So,
oh my gosh,
everything that happened. They are putting me to
work
over there. Yes.
That's great. Well, we're going to have Phil on as well, our honorary dudejet, which is a term I made up in the episode that you were gone. So,
cute.
Listen, you going to Protocol. I'm making up things over here. This is, you know.
I know.
This is how. It happens. Thank you.
Everything's fine. Everything's fine. We're good. We're rolling with it.
Phil is great. I'm happy to have him here, so he'll be here in a bit. And then I want to tell you all about my experience with some new nuggies. Some new nuggets.
Nuggets.
I said that to sound like Gadgets.
Yes, this I picked it up, yes, but thank you. Thanks for clarifying. We need to talk about fake meat because Flo, you and I were both like vegetarians back in the day. I'm sure you had many like a Boca Burger, a Morningstar patty. Like we've really been through it on the fake meat front. So now that things are getting better, like I'm excited. I mean, I'm not vegetarian anymore. I still eat, you know, I prefer a vegetarian diet primarily. But yeah, so I'm really excited that this is the options. The options. They're just getting so much better.
We're going to fangirl over fake meat. We got fake news and fake meat on the podcast today. And sandwiched in between actual real news. Like,
yes,
you know, really something that happened.
Yeah.
So.
Yes.
We'll be back after this. Well, I know that there is a lot of really important, violent terrible things happening around us. But I have decided to just push that all aside and instead have us talk about how everyone has faked Queen Elizabeth II's death.
You know, this must have happened like pre-internet also. Like they must, I don't know, maybe we'll find out in The Crown, a show which I love. But
right?
Don't you think like news of her death is like every so often it's like the queen died and it's like, no, that's fake. Like I think that happens a lot.
So I chose this story because before it made it to Gizmodo's front page, before it made it to a couple of other tech blogs, it was actually, I got word of this news through some of my like celebrity trash channels.
Oh, right.
But like, but the thing is, because they were coming from the so-called trash channels, the legitimacy of it, obviously, I was just kind of like, okay, this is just the Daily Mail, like pulling from nowhere or whatever. But it turns out that there was actually a full-on misinformation campaign going around about the queen being dead. And I just found this fascinating because, as you mentioned earlier when we were starting the pod, this has been happening in Ukraine too, like with the war between Russia and Ukraine, we should say. We were getting a lot of misinformation, faked stories, faked images that weren't even from like the current war going on, saying that like, oh, this is what's happening. And the queen in particular, because the monarchy is such a like constant cultural touchstone and I guess society.
Yeah. I mean, even if you don't believe that there should be queens, which I feel like most people think that that's the case, like it's, she's still, you know, she's kind of an icon. She's there. She's ruling.
It's happening to
something.
Her too.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not at all surprised by that. Like, I mean, I don't really understand the point of it because it's not like if the queen dies, like anything major happens to, you know, democracy or like she's a figurehead. People look to her.
Caitlin, we get a funeral. We get a televised funeral.
Oh,
do you not remember? I mean, Diana, my family and I were, my mother and I were in mourning for weeks after that. We watched it
really
live on. Yes, we watched the funeral live on CNN. My mom bought the Elton John Candles in the Wind tape. So this is something that I may have to prepare for personally, okay? So
I feel like that was different. Like Diana, that was a shock. Candle in the Wind is a jam. Like, are we going to get, is anyone going to do like a really good song? Okay, we shouldn't laugh about this.
I'm just imagining Dua Lipa coming out with like a ballad of some sort that's just about the queen. And
Oh, no.
I meant to keep this very serious and like journalistic, but now I've just completely set us off the rails. But it's great because.
Yes. I mean, yeah.
It would be a big deal to society if the queen died, because it would make a big change, and clearly it would be such a big deal that people are going as far as to get the photos. So for those who are not familiar in
yes,
journalism,
let's break it down. What's happening? What's the misinformation that's spreading?
So pool photographers, folks who shoot news for like Getty Images and the agency, is it French or foreign press? The AFP news agency.
The AFP,
so they shoot
yeah.
these photos. It gets put into this repository and then outlets, they can pay for the rights to these photos to publish them with news stories. And so what happened is somebody took some of these very official photos between Canada's Prime Minister Justin Trudeau and Queen Elizabeth II, and they made her head. So she's kind of just kind of, what would we call it? Got her, you know, she's a little, what? She doesn't have the best posture. Okay.
Oh, okay. Listeners, I have to tell you, Flo is doing this weird thing with her body on video, and I cannot figure out what's going on.
So I could only think of the Romanian word in my head, which is why I was having such a hard time. Yeah. Anyway.
Okay.
Apologies, everyone. My ESL brain just came into works there. So I was working that out in real time. So they moved her head forward a little bit to make her look like she has this hunchback of Notre Dame style, like, thing going on with her back, just to kind of like say she's basically, her bones are brittle and she's falling apart in real life. And this is just one of the latest photoshopped narratives being circulated around of like, the queen is dying. Apparently, this started back in October of 2021. Oh. She like had an overnight stay at a hospital, and the conspiracy theorists online had believed that is actually when she died, and she was either replaced with a lookalike. This is a very QAnon style conspiracy. Yeah.
Okay.
Or all the photos of her after the hospital video have been faked, including the one that we're talking about with her being like super hunchbacked.
Like,
she also, yes.
I'm sorry. Where do people find the time? Like, if I have a free moment, I am not thinking about Queen Elizabeth and making photos of her look like, do people need hobbies? Like, should we go outside more? Like, this is crazy.
Yes.
I don't
understand. This is something that 15-year-old Flo would have done when I had no friends.
Do you think you would have fallen down the QAnon rabbit hole as a 15-year-old?
Yes. Yes.
Really?
Because I went to some dark places in the internet. I know.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It was very easy to get on them back in the day. And I hung around some shady spots. So I'm glad I didn't go down that rabbit hole.
Yeah. Wow, we would have lost you at such a young age.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would have really become a tabloid journalist.
Oh my God.
It was my backup plan.
You're here with us now. There's still time. There's still time. QAnon still exists. The tabloids would be happy to have you. What a career change.
I know. Love this for you. Yeah. So adding some credence to this idea that the queen might be dying is that apparently she also contracted COVID on February 20th of this year, 2022. And people were like, she probably died from COVID. And I guess she's a blow up doll now. I just don't understand how.
I'm at a loss for words.
It's not unprecedented for us to be on Death Watch, right? Because we did the same thing with Betty White. We were like, she's in her 90s. Oh my God, don't say Betty White has died. And then rest in peace. So, you know, the queen is 95 years old. It's that time. I'm sorry to everyone that this is upsetting, but yeah.
95 is a solid age. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I mean, it makes sense. Like, if you're a reporter who covers the royals, you've probably prepped your obituary. I mean, that's been prepped probably for decades at this point. But yeah, it makes sense for people who watch the royals to be expecting eventually news of her death. But like, for regular people, who cares? Like, what? Why do we need to stress about this right now? Unless this means something Meghan Markle. Is Meghan Markle queen next? Because I could get down with that.
Unfortunately not. I imagine she'll probably end up with some territory in Canada. I think they're in L.A. now. They're back in L.A. So maybe they'll become Prince and Princess of California.
California really does not need more princes and princesses, but
that's right. Spencer Pratt was the original prince of Malibu.
Oh God, you've really done it now. I cannot talk about Spencer Pratt with you. We're not going to. We don't have time. I inevitably bump into Meghan and Harry, I'll ask them what's happening with the queen. But until then, I think she's fine.
She's fine. That's all to say, be careful where your photos are coming from. The misinformation, God, just like logging on TikTok, for instance, will take you, if you allow the wrong video to play all the way through, your algorithm will immediately take you to like fake war stories and everything. So misinformation, it even goes after the Queen of England. Mm-hmm.
Be careful out there, everyone. It could happen to you. Mm-hmm.
All right, when we're back, very expensive, nice-looking stuff.
Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
All right, joining us at the table to talk all about Apple, we've got Philip Tracy. Hi, Phil.
Hi, thanks for having me again.
Hi.
Flo, that was what...
I know.
I leave for 1 second and you're just wiling out.
I know. It's because I'm trying to stay awake. Doing what I can. Yeah. So thank you all for receiving me. Phil, Caitlin, we had a whirlwind day yesterday with the Apple event. And I feel like we should just go ahead and jump in there. So very quickly, there was an Apple event on March 8th. If you would like to rewatch it, you can go to YouTube and rewatch it, or you can go to our show notes. And Phil and I, and also Caitlin, we wrote a lot about the Apple event, so you can do that reading. But for now, we're going to talk about our thoughts, our feelings, our excitement for things that cost a lot of money but are very powerful.
Yeah. So first things first, there is a new iPhone. It's an iPhone that most people will probably not be that excited about because it looks the same as like an iPhone from 5 years ago. It has Touch ID. It has bezels. It looks old. I think kids will be into it because they like shit that looks old now.
And parents. So
it's retro tech. And new parents. Retro tech.
It's retro tech. Mm-hmm. So it's basically like it's an iPhone SE. It has... You know, it has 5G. It has like faster processor. So it's
not
basically for people
Wave.
Who just want right. Only so yes. I mean, people. It's the slower version of 5G that will actually be more useful to you because
it exists.
Because it exists,
and it might be easier on your battery a little too. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll have longer battery life. But this is a phone for people who want the physical fingerprint sensor. They want something easy. Something cheap. It's only $429, which for an iPhone is, you know, budget. That's like discount dollar. Okay, never mind. It's not.
it's
cheap.
For Apple.
It's cheaper. And then, the big news. I mean, this was a Mac event, which I was like, all right, we're just diving right in. Like, Apple is very committed to the Mac after years of
you
letting
skipped over
languish.
The green iPhone.
I didn't skip. I just sort of like moved around it. I just like sidestepped.
I just want to shout out to it because the Apple folks in my periphery were very happy about the two shades of green. So I just want to shout out to all the green lovers out there.
I love green. I don't find phone colors exciting in the slightest anymore because people just put cases
Phil's
on their
nodding.
Phones. And
okay, yeah. I'm alone in this. It's okay.
No, I like the green. Is nice. The greens are nice. But Caitlin's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Unless you get a clear case, which like, I don't know, most people don't use a clear case. So it's like, green iPhones, love them. I don't know if I would recommend anyone buy an iPhone 13 right now since we are... about, what are we now, 6 months away from iPhone 14? So we're kind of like midway through the cycle. If you can hold out, I would just hold out. This was a Mac event. Like the last year and a half, Apple has just been like, the Mac is good again. We're going to make it amazing, fast, powerful. We're going to add all these ports back in. We're going to come out with an external display after years of only making a $6,000 monitor. Now this one is again downright affordable at $1,600. Like, I was hoping for something like maybe $500, but like that's not gonna happen. So it's fine. But let's talk about the Mac Studio with the M1 Ultra chip, Phil.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
But let's break it down.
Yeah.
Let's
tell
do
us,
it.
Phil.
Who's gonna, what is it? What is it? And who is this for?
Yes. So the what is it is, so going into this event, we were expecting a high-end Mac Mini or a low-end Mac Pro. And the Mac Studio does fit in somewhere in between those two. So its size is closer to a Mac Mini. It's like a couple of those stacked on top of each other, but it's still really compact when you look at huge desktops running Windows.
Sure.
With this equivalent performance. So it is quite small. And in terms of performance, it's closer to a Mac Pro. Actually, it's probably even more powerful than a Mac Pro because the current one still runs on Intel. The secret ingredient is the M1 Ultra chip, which I don't know if anyone was really expecting Apple to reveal.
Yeah.
There were like a few rumors in the months before, but nobody was really talking about it going into the event. So when Apple revealed it, I think everyone was pretty shocked. And then it said that the M1 Ultra is basically two M1 Maxes stuck together for double the performance.
That was the weirdest part to me, like how this thing, they took two chips and just like jammed them together to make like one super chip. And I'm like, is that how this works?
It does now. Yeah, with like a very, very fast layer in between the two. And the M1 Ultra is, Apple is claiming it's 8 times faster than the M1 in the MacBook Pro, the MacBook Air. And I'll tease it a little here, but also in the Mac, in the iPad Air now. Some of the performance claims Apple made are just, they're just pretty bonkers, to be honest. This thing is going to be crazy fast, probably faster than just about any other desktop you can buy, and significantly smaller. But I think people who look at Apple products who are maybe on the fence about them will be especially happy about all the ports. There are USB-As. There are two USB-As on the back. I couldn't believe it.
When I saw that, I was like, God, I want that so bad. I don't even need it. I don't need it. I just want, I want the ports again. Oh, God, it's so frustrating.
So up to 6 USB-Cs, an Ethernet, HDMI, headphone jack. We even have to say that about an Apple product, too.
I know.
and those two USB-As, it has everything.
It does.
And then... And it also has an accompanying monitor now, which you mentioned as being
very affordable display.
At 1600.
And like the Mac Studio. So for people who don't follow Apple that closely, the Mac Studio and Mac Mini and Mac Pro are desktop PCs that don't have built-in displays. They're just they're separate. So you have to buy a display to work alongside it. So the studio display just works seamlessly with all of these desktops. Like the way it's going to work with Mac Studio, I'm really curious to see how that performs because it has an iPhone chip in it.
It does, yeah. The A13, I believe.
The A13, which is like a couple years old. So it's like, you know, that's kind of strange, but it might just make everything work super seamlessly together.
Yep.
You know,
yeah, isn't like, that for like the panning camera? Because they added like they infused the camera.
Yeah.
It's an ultra wide camera, and it kind of has like the same panning abilities as some of the Amazon and Portal
Center
devices.
Stage.
Yeah,
So yeah, if we talk about the monitor a bit, so it's 27 inches, 5K resolution. It's not mini LED, but it's I'm sure Apple made some claims, 600 nits of brightness. It covers the P3 color gamut. And built in are 6 speakers, and Apple's done a really good job with the speakers in its other products, so I'm expecting good things from that.
Yeah.
And it has more ports, I think 3 USB-Cs and a Thunderbolt for charging if you connect it to a MacBook, and studio quality mics, and it has a 12 megapixel camera on the front. 12 megapixels should be better than just about any other built-in webcam you can find with Center Stage, which will, Flo, as you were mentioning, it will center you in your video call, or if another participant comes in, it'll zoom out so both of you are in the shot. So some pretty nice things there. And that's enabled by the A13 chip.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The really interesting thing to me about the Mac Studio is actually the price. It starts at $2,000.
Yep.
Which... that's not bad.
No,
like it's not bad for a person who is like, I need a computer for making music or,
for professionals,
editing video,
creative professionals, like people in Hollywood are going to be buying Mac Studios and like,
or even hobbyists like my husband who got into, I told him, I said, this is your next Mac. I'm like, dump the laptop.
Yeah.
Get the mini.
Yeah.
You like the, UI and you like the system mm-hmm. for, I mean, Apple is made for, they made their stuff cater to creatives.
Yeah.
And the Mac Mini was such a popular computer.
Yeah.
I mean, people hold on to those from the old days. Mm-hmm. It's a tiny little computer.
It's really small.
With so much power.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's really interesting that like this year is expected to be like the year of the Mac, which it's been kind of for like the last year and a half, but they have so many upgrades planned. They're basically transitioning the whole lineup from, and they're almost done transitioning from Intel to custom silicon. Mm-hmm. And it's just really interesting to see them return. I wrote about this, like for Protocol, it's interesting to watch them just return to their foundational product after years of doing weird shit to it. Like, let's take out all the ports, let's make it as thin as it can possibly be. Let's, you know, make it functionally useless with a terrible keyboard. And it's like, this is the time to be a Mac user, which is interesting because, you know, the future of Apple is not the Mac. You know, it's going to be augmented reality and or mixed reality. And like the iPhone will be essential to that, not the Mac. So I'm really, this strategy is super interesting, but it also appeals to their base, like their original fans. Like those are the people who want, you know, who want Macs to be good again, and they are.
They are. Yeah, and I wonder how much the shift to remote work encouraged Apple to take this route. A lot of people don't need laptops anymore. They work from home. They just want something that sits there, that they can, you know, they can wake up, sit down, it's on, ready to go.
Or they need a powerful machine to be at home with when they are at home for, like, their hybrid lifestyle. $2,000, is a lot of money, but when you're, I mean, my Dell XPS 15 was $2,500. So just to put that in perspective.
Flo, your financial decisions.
It's a great laptop.
Oh,
that is a lot of money.
Tell her, Phil. Tell her.
$2,500 for a laptop? I need to lie down.
Yes, but it's my work. This is my Toyota truck.
But
that's what it is.
Wasn't it barely functional for a few months? Do we need to talk about this?
Okay,
again?
let me defend Flo for a second. XPS 15, wonderful laptop.
Bless you.
But okay, we've been talking about the $2,000 base price for this thing, which gets you the M1 Max chip, which is not that M1 Ultra that was just announced. It's the one in the 14 and 16 inch MacBook Pro, which is plenty powerful for most people. 32 gigs of RAM, 512 gigabyte SSD. Maybe you want more storage. You can upgrade for, I mean, Apple's premiums on storage are just a little bit ridiculous.
Wild, absolutely but, wild. $1,000 for storage.
Right. Yeah, if you want the maxed out one of these things, it costs $8,000. Few people will actually need that, but it just goes to show that, like, if you really configure this thing beyond the base price, you can start spending a lot of money.
Yeah, absolutely. But It might be worth it. I'm a creative professional. I am, but like not, my workflow is really not that intense. So I'm curious to see people put this thing through its paces. And I really want that. I want that display so bad. Oh God.
It looks very sleek.
Protocol. The budget is not there, they said.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, very quickly, before we say goodbye to Phil, Apple made a couple other just teeny tiny little announcements we want to get through. For Apple TV Plus users, I just want to say they really trotted out the Oscar winners.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
And EGOT havers.
Apple TV Plus is like a legitimately good streaming service.
It's becoming a thing. Yeah.
And everyone doubted that they could do it. And I'm like, why? They have tons of money to throw at A-listers to make nothing but good shit for them. Like, of course,
they're
going
after the Academy Awards.
Yeah.
This is it. They want Oscars. Mm-hmm. They want every award they can get because they see that that legitimizes this investment that they're doing in TV and film. And I'm extremely curious to see who else is quivering in their bones about this.
Yeah.
So that's interesting.
If I could just talk about Apple investing, because we talked a lot about the studio, and one area where Apple doesn't really have a firm hold on is gaming, which is really like one of the most high, you know, performance intensive things you do on a desktop. And Apple made some pretty wild claims about the is it 64 core GPU or 48 core, sorry, GPU in this thing?
I remember that part of the presentation.
Yes. They basically said it could blow away anything NVIDIA is making. The problem is there are no games. So it'll be interesting to see how much Apple invests if they really just throw money at studios and devs.
Yeah.
It'll be tricky for them to get a hold of that market. But I mean, it's the hardware is there.
Yeah, the hardware is absolutely
okay,
there.
But let me say this about Apple, though, that unfortunately Google needs to kind of like brush up on, is that at least when they are going to invest in something, they make sure that there is like people there making sure that things are getting done versus letting a game studio languish in Canada and then firing everybody because you decided to pivot Stadia to something. I'm just saying.
It's a good point. It's a good point. Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Apple also weirdly announced like some stuff around Major League Baseball, which the timing is kind of weird on that one, given the situation with baseball right now.
I did reach out to ask if they would still be having the games if the strike continues, like what the...
There won't be any games, yeah.
I figure, but I was just curious because, like, what are they going to show if there's no baseball season? There's no spring training right now. Like, nobody is in Phoenix doing their rounds. Everybody is, doing contract negotiations.
Yeah. Seems to be a common theme these days, yes.
Common theme. I do like baseball. That's, like, one of the few sports that I will follow. And part of it is because that's, like, the most American part of me that I adopted. Sincerely, that was the only thing I could really like glob onto. It just was it appealed to me a little more than like football.
Sure.
I think because it's a little more like my pace. So let's go Giants. Come on.
Yeah, like the Giants.
Sign
as
that
well.
Contract.
Two Giants Aww. Fans.
Look at that. Oh. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Phil.
Thank you, Phil.
I'm sure you'll have a lot of thoughts after you use all of these Apple products. So yes. I'm sure you'll be back on the pod to talk about them.
I sure hope so. Thanks for having me.
I always drag Phil onto this pod as the honorary dude jet.
The dude jet.
So, you know.
It's the best part of my week.
Thanks, Phil.
Thank you.
Bye, Phil.
Bye.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
All right, for our last segment today, I just want to talk very quickly about nuggets. When life is really hard and you can't eat anything and you just need something quick, what are you going to do? You're going to put a little nuggy in your mouth, right? But you never know what those nuggies are made with. So maybe you choose a fake nuggy.
That's true. Yeah. What are nuggets made? Yeah. The fast food nugget
are usually processed. White meat or meat that was processed and bleached to look white so that it doesn't freak you out when you're eating it. And so I do feel a little safer eating a fake nuggy if you read my review.
Let's talk about what you taste tested this week. So this is an impossible food situation, right? Like Impossible has been out here doing the most with the fake meat. They have a really good burger. They have really good pork. They've been partnering with fast food restaurants and like sit down restaurants to get Impossible, like a meat alternative on the menu. And it's really good. All the products I've tested have been extremely good. So tell us about the nuggets. Texture, taste, preparation. Did you fry them? Did you bake them? Like, let's dive into it.
All right. So Wild Nuggies is what they are called. And Impossible came out with chicken, like quote unquote chicken nuggets late last year. But these ones are shaped. Remember the dinosaur nuggets that you could get at Costco in a big bulky box?
Oh, yeah. Okay. So, these are nuggets for children.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. But they okay. appeal to flows as well. Yes.
Right. Got it. Just wanted to see where the intersection.
Who wants a boring circular nugget when you can have one shaped like an endangered species, which is a little grim, reminding you which animals are dying, but you get to bite the head off of a polar bear in this instance. So that could be fun for some children.
This is dark. I did not expect. I did not anticipate this.
I sort of regret not going this dark in my write-up, but yes.
Oh, wow. Okay. So like climate change, the earth is dying. Mm-hmm. Let's ease people away from meat with plant-based nuggets that look like endangered animals.
Correct.
Wow. That's a – let me just sit with that for a second. I don't even know what to do with that.
Well, what you can do is dip them into a sauce of your choice, which I tried. So Impossible sent me a bunch of fake meat. They sent me the Wild Nuggies. And I also have the breakfast patties in my freezer. So I'm going to get to those probably this weekend. And so the Wild Nuggies, I put them on parchment paper. I baked them in the oven at 400 because I like them a little crispier. I took out all the sauces that I have hoarded from different fast food restaurants here in the suburbs.
Sure.
I went dipping.
You get a little ranch, this is yummy with this.
A little yummy with this. This is yummy with the honey mustard, which I do like. They're great. The texture is a little spongier and a little more porous than like the corn nuggets, which are my favorite. It's spelled K-U-O-R-N. And those are this is my family's favorite nuggets that we usually eat.
Oh, okay.
Of the fake meat variety. Yeah. Which my husband likes because they're a little crunchier than these Wild Nuggies. But Wild Nuggies are great. Go buy them. They're like $9 for a bag. Try them out. They're probably in your freezer aisle.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like Impossible has done a really good job of, you know, approximating the meat eating experience. Like the burger for sure is just like, it's like right there. I've prepared that for people who are like straight up carnivores and they've been like, oh, this is actually really good. And I thought the pork was also great. Like pork is a little easier to fudge because it doesn't, I mean, pork is not like all that flavorful.
Yeah, like a jackfruit, even though it tastes different, but the texture is still there.
Yeah. Yeah. I will say Beyond Meat is not doing it for me. I don't love a Beyond Meat situation. But Flo, you and I had to like really make do back in the day with the meat alternatives. And I just am so thrilled that we've come so far. Like we might actually be able to like wean America as a society like away from actual meat with, you know, alternatives that taste really good.
Yeah.
Do you think? Maybe?
I agree.
Am I hoping for too much?
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. I think if anybody is open to it, you should just go try these out. They're becoming more widely available at grocery stores. They're not super overtly priced. Again, like I said, it's like $9 for a bag of these. So it's about the same as those Dino Nuggies you get at Costco. I think it's $10 for the whole bag there.
Oh, gosh.
It's not bad.
Except
try it out.
Time,
and if you do try it out.
Endangered animals. I still can't get over that. Why did they have to be endangered animals?
So you can teach your kids, like, these animals are dying. Look at the shapes. Have lunch. It's a lunchtime. it's a lunchtime climate change education is, like, what it's supposed to be, which I can appreciate. I get it. It's like Sesame Street crackers teaching you, you know, the letters of the alphabet. So,
but much more bleak. Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Well, on that note...
On that note, if you end up trying these nuggies, please feel free to reach out to us, gadgets@gizmodo.com. We love getting your feedback. We love getting your questions, comments, concerns, whatever you want to send over, gadgets@gizmodo.com. Before we go, we'd like to thank our producer and sound engineer, Ryan Allen, for making us sound great every week. Our cover designer, Vicky Lita, who makes us look good in your podcatchers. You could tweet us at Gizmodo or find us on social media. Caitlin is Caitlin_McGarry on Twitter, and I'm OThatFlow on Twitter. Be sure to subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It really helps us out. And until next week, we want to thank everybody for being here. And we'll see you next time.
Goodbye.